This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Legacies shape who we are, but who's shaping them? In the new season of Black History Year, we're breaking down the meaning and power behind the personal, familial, and systemic legacies that define our world. We're diving deep into how political and cultural forces have historically molded Black communities and what it means for our future. Join us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts for a new season of Black History Year. Let's shape our collective memory and legacy together.
Hey, anyone know what channel the game's on?
We know. Download the Sports on What app today and always know how to watch the game. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Subscribe today to start your 7-day free trial. Sports on What. We know.
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Talking about people stealing stuff from restaurants on yesterday's show. A couple from a Reddit discussion, a thread on the weirdest things that people have taken from restaurants. I'll give you a few. The biggest item I took was one of those glass pitchers that they put on the table with orange juice in it for our entire table.
Nice.
They got a pitcher of orange juice and took the pitcher.
All right.
Brother once stole a whole container of a popular burger joint's special seasoning. I think we know which establishment that was.
Mm-hmm.
Another person just says, I stole a lemon off the bar. I was drunk. Thought I'd take it home and use it for my tea. Another, guys, I'm guilty of stealing a pie. This place had a refrigerator in the front with pies in it to take home. And I just grabbed one and walked out the door with it. Good times. I am guilty of stealing a pie. Here's another. I was walking out, going through a breezeway, and spotted this potted plant I liked. It was kind of a hipster restaurant. We were waiting and waiting and waiting. And eventually I said, it looks like they're not going to serve us or seat us. There are too many people in front of us. So I picked up this potted plant. Walked out the door, put it in my car. What else do we have? Actually, I stole one of those cool fajita mini skillets. The kind that...
Oh, yeah.
You know, kind of have the cast iron in the middle and then a wood rim on the outside. What else? We asked to look at some beer mugs that a restaurant had for sale. Yeah, we didn't buy them. I once stole a stuffed alligator from a restaurant in Florida. It was in the lobby of the restaurant, and the owners were being jerks. So we donated it to the lobby of the hotel we were staying in, and the concierge really liked it.
I stole a 12-pack of beverages once, not on purpose. We were in the self-checkout.
All right.
I thought my buddy and I had both scanned. We hadn't. She checked our IDs, and then went, yep, you're good to go, check out, and he paid for it, and we walked out, and then he goes, you didn't pay for yours. I was like, what? He's like, I think you just stole those.
Damn.
Nice. Well, we were already out of the store.
Mm-hmm.
They tasted better.
My friend took a painting from a restaurant that was closing down. He looked at the manager and says, can I have this? The manager just kind of looked at me and shrugged his shoulders. So he picked it up off the wall and walked out with it. It's easily a value now over $1,000.
Damn.
I wonder if he got one of those Taco Bell paintings.
Didn't people go crazy for those a couple years ago?
People were snatching up. If you try to find one now on eBay, they go for a pretty penny.
That is insane. It's Taco Bell, man.
Our question, big, small, or petty, tell us one thing you've stolen in your lifetime. 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Matthew. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitch. Hola.
Hola.
All right. So this was probably back in high school. Me and my two best friends were just stoned out of our minds. Driving around a hot summer day, nothing to do, no school to go to, no girls to hang out with. One of my buddies had to use the restroom at a grocery store up in Auburn. So we're sitting there at the entrance in my buddy's car waiting for my buddy to come out of the restroom. And he comes out with a big box in his hands, big grin on his face, and he's literally high-stepping to my buddy's car. And he throws the box into the back seat, gets in, and says, go, 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 go. So we're like, okay, this is really unexpected. And we drive down the street and pull over, and we look at the box, and it is a massive box, like a whole display of king-size Airheads, the candy.
Wow.
So, me and my high school best friends, stoned out of our minds, lived off of Airheads for about 4 straight days after that.
Airheads.
That's what he stole.
I mean, I like sour, but that's a lot of sour candy.
That is a lot. Did you guys go through all of them?
Yeah, we went through all of them in about 3 or 4 days. The colors of my poop were out of this world. good times.
Okay.
I like it, man.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can get your hands on that much.
Didn't was it your brother, Ted, that he was selling the school candy bars and someone held him up and stole his loot somewhere?
So my brother, right, when he was doing it for Carol, he was down by where my grandparents lived in northeast D.C., right, so it's funny. It's important to the story that it's that stop, right? So he got robbed. They stole all his candy, stole his money. Now you fast forward 10 years later, my buddy Bernie is selling candy bars for Damatha at the same metro stop. And 3 dudes walk by and are like, hey, man, like, give us a candy bar. So you guys know Bernie.
Yeah.
I'm giving you effing, blah, blah, blah. Guys come back with a gun and said, we'll take all the candy bars and your money.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, and the money? And they were like, yeah.
Yeah.
Same metro stop.
Jesus. Damn. Probably the same dudes.
Big, small, or petty, tell us one thing you've stolen in your lifetime. 206-803-RUN.
I mean, we stole a keg once when I was living in Baltimore.
How'd you steal it?
Well, we knew these guys were having a keg party, but they were across the alley, right? So we could see into their back door. And then they all went to a sporting event or something. The keg was there. So we just walked over and took it, and then we had it in our house. And then basically they looked over and saw us doing keg stands in our kitchen. We came over like, you guys stole our keg. We were like, what? And they're like, you stole our keg. And we were like, all right. And they were like, bring it over. And we were like, no, you want it? You take it back over.
Did they grab it themselves?
They did, but I was lucky. I had my cousin in town. He had a couple of his buddies. They were a little more rough and tumble from PG County. So, I mean, these guys were talking a lot of trash at the front door with Cam. Now, Cam's a good dude, but Cam's like basketball player, maybe my height.
All right.
So you're going to walk it back. And he's like, no, I'm not walking it back over. Then they walk into the kitchen. There's just like 4 big dudes staring at him. And they were like, no, you know what? It's fine. We'll walk it.
I love you stole their keg. But you want it? Take it back yourself.
Yeah, and we wouldn't have done anything, but they didn't know that. Like, we were just being stone-faced on the verge of being like, all right, you got it.
Right.
But they panicked so quickly, we were like,
yeah. Stay mean.
Yeah.
Big, small, or petty, tell us one thing you've stolen in your lifetime. 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Candy. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
I did and didn't steal a dress. I walked into a department store. They had a guard for a greeter. I chatted him up a little bit. Went and found a very nice dress, tucked it under my arm, and it was sticking out both sides. And then I finished my other shopping, went up, paid for the stuff that was, not under my arm. The dress had become part of my body at that point, and I had forgotten about it.
How do you forget that there is a garment under your arm?
It was slinky, and it fit under there nicely. I just kind of tucked it there and completely forgot it was there.
Okay.
So I paid for my stuff. The cashier didn't notice. I walked back. I chatted up the guard again and then walked out to my car, unloaded, and then this dress dropped out. And I was like, oh, my God, I never paid for it. So I turned around and went back in. And I shook it in front of the guard, and I said, I stole this. I'm going to go return it. And he just kind of stood there with his mouth open. I turned it in.
You didn't even buy it for yourself, even though you wanted to?
No. I decided not to. I decided I didn't want it after all. It was very nice, but it was kind of high dollar, so I changed my mind.
It was nice. It was high dollar, and even though you didn't do it intentionally, you successfully stole it. Why not just keep it?
I didn't want the karma.
But did you say you returned it?
Yeah, I turned it back in. I shook it in front of the guard and said, I stole this, but I'm going to turn it. I'm going to give it back.
Oh, okay.
It back, you know?
I thought you returned it and got the money.
Oh, that'd be the move.
No.
Well, I mean, at least you're honest. I can respect that. Yeah. I would not have done that personally.
Does this count as stealing? Years ago, my brother, he's a bartender.
Uh-huh.
So you know the old ATMs, right? You had to put it in that tube.
Yeah.
So he fills out the list. You know, he's depositing, blah, blah, blah. They send back his receipt. We take off. 2 hours later, we're sitting in a restaurant, and he reaches in his pocket. It's like, oh, my God, I never put the money in there. But he had the receipt. They had already accredited his account.
For how much?
It was like $400 or $500, because he's a bartender,
so they
right?
said the money goes in, but you never gave me the money.
But they gave him the
but
receipt.
They still
so they've
pay.
Accounted for the yeah. money being.
So they can go back and see, okay, why are we short $400? And look at that transaction and go, that's the only one it could have been, right?
Maybe.
I don't know. And he never got in trouble for it.
I mean,
like, I feel bad because it's on the teller.
It's kind of stealing, but it's not theft. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, it's like you pay for something with a 10, they give you change for a 20. You walk out. You're like, all right, well, I just made a $10 profit on this, but, like, I did not steal this. I mean, it's kind of theft because you're aware of it. And if you were like Candy, who just called, yes, you would take it back. But we all know you're not going to. So I would say it's theft without stealing. They gave it to you.
I think it was just so busy on a Saturday morning, whoever the teller was just forgot to like count the money and just was like, there's the form, type it in, boom.
That's unbelievable. I wish that would happen to me.
Yeah.
Big, small, or petty, tell us one thing that you've stolen in your lifetime. 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Justin. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
So let's see here. I was working at a retirement home back in high school, and I got to admit, they had some really, really good cookies. So, like, every single week, I got like a dozen to two dozen of those things, just, like, pack them up and take them home.
So you just steal boxes of cookies from the retirement center?
Well, they weren't boxes. They were freshly made from the kitchen, and I was just like, oh, yeah, no. Like, Betty at table five had, like, three, and this, that, and that. And then, yeah, I had me some boxes of cookies. Just kept taking them.
Yeah. I mean, it's also a retirement home, so, like,
perk of the job.
They don't eat as much as you'd think.
No. And then the feeling was that it was just kind of nice because that actually wasn't the reason why I got fired. So, you know, never got caught.
Okay.
Why did you get fired?
I slept in.
Ah, okay.
Missed the
shit. Not the cookies. I just didn't show up one day.
All right. Big, small, or petty, tell us one thing that you have stolen in your lifetime. 206-803-ROCK. Speaking of that, when I got fired from BKU, all right? So I was still in the training process. I had been there for
How bad are you that you get fired during training?
I mean,
you're training, and they're like,
I was fine. I was doing everything right. The manager, he changed the schedule, and somebody said they could not work a shift on the weekend. I'd already worked Saturday. I knew I was not going to work Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
No big deal. As of Saturday afternoon, because I worked Saturday morning, as of Saturday afternoon when I left that place, I was not on the schedule until Monday.
Yeah.
All right? So I go in on Monday shift, and the manager says, you're fired. And I said, why am I fired? He said, well, I had you on the schedule for Sunday. And I said, I left here on Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because I worked the breakfast shift. So I left at 3 o'clock. I was not on the schedule when I left. And he said, yes, but I changed the schedule, and you were on Sunday. And I said, well, I was never informed of that.
Right.
He said, it's your job to find out when you work. And I was like, well, did you call my place? No. So I was like, you know what? F you. So I walked out. So as soon as I get home,
so were you fired or did you quit?
He fired me.
Okay.
And I was like, look, I don't want to work for you if this is the way
right.
that this is going to go down. So as soon as I walk in the door when I get home, all right, the phone's ringing. My buddy's like, hey, dude, it's Burger King. So I go over to the phone and he said, you walked out and you did not leave your uniform. And I'm like, F you. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm not coming back. You fired me. Forget it. So I wore that. It was awful. They were brown polyester slacks. It was brown and orange.
Oh, I remember those, man.
The top.
God,
yeah. And it had kind of like a vest type of look to it, even though it was a shirt. So the main part was the vest looking part of the shirt was orange.
Yeah.
The sleeves were brown. It had a Burger King logo on it. It had some kind of fashionable color.
Yeah, I'm sure it was fashionable.
But either way, I'm like, so I had this thing for a while. So you know, you're going to parties or whatever. Every once in a while, I just put this thing on and wear it.
You're like, hey, I'm the Burger King guy?
Yeah, I'm the Burger King guy, man, because I had a hat, I had a shirt, I had pants. I'm like, what am I going to do with this? If you're having like a party at Halloween, I'm dressed up as a Burger King employee.
Yeah. By the way, Ted, a texter, he's commented on your brother's situation.
All right.
So the bank screws up. Your brother, honestly, didn't realize he didn't put the money in, whatever. So this guy says, look, it's considered ill-gotten gains, so they consider it stealing.
Huh.
So ill-gotten gains. They go, look, we understand you did not, this was not your intent, but I guess it's the difference between, like, homicide and manslaughter. We know you did not mean to kill this person, but you still killed this person. You get charged with manslaughter, right? Versus you did it with intent as homicide. So they go, no, we know it's an honest mistake, but you could have fixed it. But you didn't, hence ill-gotten gains. And a bank teller, someone else said, would have been fired.
Oh.
So two things. And by the way, I just farted, and it smells terrible. I apologize.
Big, small, or petty, tell us one thing that you've stolen in your lifetime. 206-803.
I mean, my brother was turning 21, so I was
4. Oh, God.
I told you,
don't
man.
Wave it.
I'm trying to keep it away.
No, but you're moving around the room.
I got to
need to sit in this. We do not need to be a part of it.
Has it made it to you, Ted?
No, but I'm afraid to breathe through my nose.
Don't do it, man. Don't do it. Just telling you, it is bad, bad.
God.
Hello, Miranda. Welcome to the men's room.
Jesus. That smells like straight poop.
Hola.
Hola.
Hola. Well, it's like poop breath.
God, it's straight poop.
And it won't leave. Man, and look, during the last break, I just took a leak, all right? I farted when I'm washing my hands, and it smelled like someone died in the stall.
That is awful.
That is
it
so
is.
Thick.
I told you.
I feel like if I light a match, man, we'll all blow up.
It's chicken Alfredo, man.
Oh.
Chicken Alfredo.
So you all are just, it sounds like I'm at home.
Yeah. Sorry.
Every 3 or 4 months, then goes, when I eat it, I love it. I forget what it does to my stomach.
We don't.
I do. And I had it last night, and I didn't think
that
about it.
It was delicious.
It was tremendous. I actually got seconds, man. And then this morning,
you did get seconds.
Why can't I stop farting? And I'm like, oh, damn it. That's right. Mm-hmm. All that heavy cream. But Miranda, don't let us stop you. What did you steal?
So back in the 90s, I was stationed in Germany.
Yeah.
And I was pretty easy on the eyes, and I went into this bar, and there was a retired first sergeant that ran it. And it's hard to find a bar that plays American music, has American drinks. And so here's this little place, a hole in the wall, a couple clicks away from my barracks. And I start chatting up the guy that owns it, and he tells me, put on some shorter shorts and come back at 6 o'clock. You got a job. I thought, oh, well, let's try this out. So I did. The thing about Germany was you get ration cards, and you get a ration card for smokes, a ration card for alcohol, for hard alcohol, and a ration card for gas. And old Roy, he liked to buy ration cards for liquor because it was really expensive to get American alcohol off post.
But could he go to the base and buy it with those cards?
He could. So he was retired first sergeant that married,
okay, gotcha.
That married a German, so he had a ration card, but we only got, I think, 4, maybe 6 fifths a month. And that's nothing for his bar, so you could go and sell Roy your ration card for $20. Well, when people would come in, when guys would come in on this thing we had called Combat Drinking Night, the first Thursday of every month, for $20, I'm going to give you a Hefe glass, so that's like a 24-ounce glass, and I'll put anything you want in it all night for $20.
Does that include, like, hard liquor? If I wanted Jack Daniels.
Hard liquor.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah, Jack and Jim. Those are the big boys back then. So they'd get hammered. And I'd call them cabs. I took care of them, what have you. But before they got in that cab, I'd say, oh, what? Can I have your ration card? Why don't you give me that alcohol ration card? You're really drunk. You shouldn't have that. And most of the time, they just slip it to me. And then I'd sell it to Roy for $20.
How much money do you think you made selling these ration cards to Roy?
Well, between the ration cards and the tips in that place, the 3 years I worked there in between deployments and such, only Thursday, Friday nights, I never used my military money. I came back to Fort Lewis with about $25,000 in the bank.
Good God.
How nice. Good looking were you?
I was pretty damn good looking, and females in Germany were hard to come by. You know, everybody was looking for that green card in the sky. So all these German girls, you had to be careful of them, and they didn't speak English. And
that sounds perfect. I have no idea what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Yeah, there's like one female to every 10 guys. So I didn't have to be that great looking. But, you know, I ran 7 miles a day, and I did pretty well for myself.
I bet you did.
Damn, okay.
I can't believe I could just ask someone, come back in shorter shorts, and you got a job.
And they're like, all right, sweet, thanks.
Been waiting for someone to say
that. It's a military base in Germany, though.
Yeah, I mean, you can understand.
Okay, I got to ask you a question. How hard was it to learn how to carry all of the big mugs on a tray? Like, we went to the Munchen House, or not the Munchen House, the Hofbrau House. And they have, you know, these women are walking around with like 6-8 of these.
But they're 24 ounces of
right.
beer.
Did you ever do anything like that as a waitress?
No, I was lucky. I didn't have to do anything like that. So this was in a little town right outside of our barracks. And the bottom was a sports plot that his wife owned, so beer and soccer games and sandwiches. And then upstairs, he had what would have been an apartment, but he had put a small bar in it, and then one room was a pool table, one room was darts, et cetera, et cetera.
All right.
And there was a little dance floor, and he had like a NASCAR theme going on. It was a country bar, which added to its ambiance and people wanting to come to it, because in German bars, you're getting techno and raves type stuff.
Yeah.
So it's very hard to come by a country bar. So this guy, he had a small place, but he knew the ticket. He had NASCAR tires stapled to the roof so that with like the white marks on them from where they'd rubbed. And he had a VW bus front as his DJ booth. And
wow.
He knew what he was doing.
That's
he
cool.
He had a good... Yeah, but it was a small bar, and so everybody had to come up to me. So I was never filling more than a couple drinks at a time.
Well, Miranda, I never met Roy, but it sounds like a dude I would like.
Big, small, or petty, tell us one thing you've stolen in your lifetime. 206-803-ROCK.
This is the Mighty 99.9 KISW and KISW HD1 Seattle. Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Pinkies Plumbing Studio, you're in the men's room. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK.
Taryn Daly on the way from the Daily Mix Morning Show. We will sit and spin today back to the 80s. We go
with the top 10 glam metal songs of all time.
Oh, yay.
On the way at 4:30. We'll see if we can identify these gems from the MTV era.
Yes, gems.
This is one that will hit Ted right in the heart as it pulls at two heartstrings of his. Thieves have targeted freight trains. Train heists are now going on through the deserts of California and Arizona, like the Old West.
Come on.
It's cowboy stuff. The heists resulted in the theft of more than $2 million worth of new Nike sneakers, including many that have not hit the retail market yet.
Oh.
According to officials, January 13th, suspects cut an air brake hose on a freight train traveling through a remote section of Arizona, made off with more than 1,900 pairs of unreleased Nikes worth more than $440,000. Ted, many of the shoes were Nigel Sylvester Air Jordan 4s.
That's going to be a guy that designed specific Jordans.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. Which will not be available to the public until March 14th. They're expected to retail about $225 a pair. Then that robbery was one of at least 10 heists of trains in remote areas of the Mojave Desert since last March.
What?
And is being investigated. All but one resulted in the theft of Nike sneakers. All but one.
All right, so they know what trains they're hitting.
Exactly.
And another case. Train came to an emergency stop near Hackberry, Arizona, after it started losing air, according to a complaint filed in federal court. A white panel van is seen leaving the area with 180 pairs of then unreleased Air Jordan 11 Retro Legend blue sneakers, valued at $41,000. Another one in Seligman, Arizona, last year, resulted in the theft of $612,000 worth of Nikes and 8 arrests, according to federal complaints. Thefts from cargo trains, they say, cost the nation and their 6 largest freight railroads more than $100 million last year because of a combination of the value of the goods and the cost of the repairs and the damaged rail cars.
I did not know the train heists were back in fashion.
Big, small, or petty, tell us one thing that you've stolen in your lifetime. 206-803-ROCK.
That is kind of wild, but you think about it. Trains go through some desolate places.
Absolutely, man. And you said they're in desolate Arizona, middle of the desert. There's no cameras, nothing, man. I don't know that I like Nike shoes that much, but still, something
about
that.
It's the value. It's the resale.
I get it. Just, but who are you fencing them to? So, Ted, I contact you, and I say, look, man, I've done
show,
the heist.
There's shows for shoes all the time, all over the country, you have them in, your armory or something else. You could have them at the convention center, but, I mean, private sellers just show up with all these shoes. So, generally, sometimes it helps to have a receipt of, this is where I bought it, but generally...
Right. No one cares.
People that really know what they're doing are just making sure they're real or fake.
Right. That's all you really want to know. And don't ask questions.
Correct.
That's how I try to survive.
And look, women can do their own thing with their bags, right? I know that's a big deal.
Yes.
But I do find it hard when people, you can't brag about Jordans if they're fake. And they make very good replicas of them. But there's a reason they're that cheap.
Where do you sell your fake Jordans? Am I selling this to distributors or individual shops or something?
They're usually just websites you can find them.
Ah, okay.
But again, you'd have to link up with somebody that's cool with wearing counterfeit shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Fakes.
Hello, Ron. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
Hey, so you guys were talking about trains in Seligman, Arizona. Coincidentally, my dad ran Santa Fe out there from Needles to Seligman for years. They had a derailment, and it was actually women's shoes, and some of the guys went out there and collected shoes, and they had them. My stepmonster used to sell women's shoes for 2 years.
Your stepmonster?
After that, they just went out and collected tons and tons.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So my story is back before about the year 2000, the Las Vegas casinos, most all the machines, they were coin-operated. They used nickels, quarters, or silver dollars. And very few people knew this, but if you were running low on cash, you could take a roll of nickels. And if you were patient, you could walk around and you could find a quarter machine or a silver dollar machine that would actually take a nickel. And so I had a gambling problem back in the day. And sometimes, a couple times, I got low and I was able to find a dollar machine once that actually took pennies. No cap. A dollar machine that took pennies.
And did you make any money off those? Did you hit?
Yeah. Actually, once it hit, and then it jammed because it was trying to kick out nickels, and it was $200. And the guys came, they opened the machine, they saw the nickels all over it, but they couldn't prove anything, and they had to pay me out $200-something in cash.
Okay.
All right. Hey, man, if it worked.
Why not?
I don't feel bad at a casino. I just don't.
They'll get it back.
They'll get it back. Look, I'm not clever enough to pull off anything at a casino anyway. You know what I mean? I'm not going to count cards. I don't have weighted dice. Slot machine is just pure luck. I am not smart enough to rip you off.
Big, small, or petty, tell us one thing you've stolen in your lifetime. 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Brock. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
So I've told a few stories, and Miles didn't believe some of them, but I grew up in Ballard back in the day, and it was crazy. It wasn't like West Virginia or anything. Ballard was a bunch of fishermen that had a lot of money, and at one point, drugs became really popular in the 80s.
Cocaine. Oh, you mean fishermen do cocaine?
Yes.
Shocking.
So,
whoa.
Yes. All my buddies would go up on the boat. They'd make $30,000. They would come home. We'd have a huge party. They would buy a car. They'd crash the car. And then they forget to pay their taxes, and then they'd go back up and do it again. So, so my brother was a dealer back in the day, and I got taught at a young age at 16 how to deal also. But there used to be, in Washington, it was really popular in the summer, the races. So you'd go to Tri-City and do the Tri-City races, and then there'd be Seafair. It wasn't all now it is with the, the families and stuff. It was a lot more partying way back in the day. So my brother one time called me up. He knew I was coming up to the races the next day and said, hey, I've already gone through all my supply. Can you bring some up for me? And then he told me where he stashed his stuff. So it was, again, back in the day, the balls, they were like golf balls of cocaine in a freezer bag, and he taught me how to cut at that point. So I brought him up as coke, but I stole an eight ball from him on the way up there. So.
Well, I mean, hey, look, traveling expense, you know, you got to keep that in mind.
I would just assume if someone's bringing me drugs that they've taken their transportation fee, as it were.
Hey, but there was one of the things that happened on the way that I'll never forget. Me and my buddy are driving. We're right by Ellensburg. He's driving my vehicle. I'm only 20 at the time. Or no, I get, this is older. So, no, I guess, anyway, I'm a little older. I'm 20. We had stolen some beer that was in the car. We get pulled over by the cops in Ellensburg from an airplane. My buddy gets out, and they pull him back to give him a ticket. And then they come up to me and say, hey, can we search your car? And at the time, I had like an eighth of weed, an ounce of cocaine, and a bong behind me. And I told them no. And they ended up giving me an open container ticket. And then we went on to Tri-Cities. And yeah, I never went to sleep that night.
Yeah. Hey, dude, I've been in the Buckaroo Tavern before where I had like three guys beside me that were...
Buckaroo. Why do I know that name?
They're just back from Alaska. They just got off the boat. And they when I walked in and sat down, I just got a beer.
Oh, it used to be in Fremont, Buckaroo.
Yeah,
right?
It's LaCoyne now,
right.
Or the old spot where Matt had a Louisiana place. But they were cashing out, and the woman said, "Whatever the deal is, you know, it's $70 or whatever." And the two guys who took money out of their pocket because they're all pitching in,
yeah,
they had to unroll their 20s.
Oh,
like, I mean, they're throwing straws of money. And I look over, it's like, oh, man, you guys are having a good night, you know, kind of thing.
Well, especially back in the day before there was, like, rules on, like, how much you can catch and this and that. It was just like a derby. So there was just, what, like a month? What's it, 3 weeks? You could just go out there and catch as much as you could. And, I mean, even if you watch The Deadliest Catch, a lot of those older captains talk about that, about, like, man, we made so much money. But then drugs, cars, women.
Oh, of course.
And it's the same thing. And to do that kind of job, you've already kind of a different dude.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You know what I mean? So it's like, it's not shocking those guys that work that hard for that condensed amount of period when they're down here. Like, they're adrenaline junkies.
Right.
They don't mind danger. Like, they're going to go out and tear it up.
Also, you're not getting on a plane. So...
Oh, no. Come on, man.
So like, what do you want me to do, man?
When you pack your stuff to go for the season... It's just your bags and whatever you put in there.
Yeah.
So if you want to put 4 8 balls of cocaine, you know, in your bag as you're going off to start the season, it's not like you're going through TSA.
Well, so, they can't on the boats.
Well,
that's why a lot of them go insane when they get off the boats, because they have habits. But it's like super illegal. If you get caught with, like, the captain's going to lose his license, the boat's going to lose stuff.
What if I have a private jet? If you have a private jet, do you go through the same TSA screening?
It's not
and all
the
that?
Same level.
Right, I'm just...
I mean, because you pull
I
it,
can't
you,
afford a private you jet, don't, but I thought if I could, and there's very little security screening, like, count on the fact that I've got a legal...
No, because there's not, like, TSA down at, like...
Boeing Field.
So I've flown on a private airline before. It wasn't a private jet.
Right.
Same thing. There's no TSA, but I think every once in a while... The cops do show up and will stop like a private jet and be like, because you'll read it once in a while, somebody famous, their jet gets raided. But generally, that's the point of the private jet. It's like that famous scene in Entourage where like he loses and they're like, we really shouldn't be spending money on a private jet to go back to New York to visit family. It's like, well, how are we going to get the weed and the dog there?
Right. Big, small, or petty, tell us one thing that you've stolen in your lifetime. 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Jake. Welcome to the men's room.
Jesus.
Sorry, man.
Hello.
Hola.
So, about 15 years ago, me and my buddies, during Pleasant Valley Days, in a town population with 420 people in it. And Pleasant Valley Days is kind of like a state fair to everybody else, if that makes sense. So anyway, they had a live band down there and in our community center. And us all being our kids and hooligans and whatnot, we all knew how to get into there without breaking in. And one of my buddies went and took a bass from the bass player that was there. You know, they just left their instruments there and whatnot. And anyway, a $15,000 reward went out for it. And I'm pretty sure that bass is still in my buddy's woodpile over in his grandpa's yard.
He put it in a woodpile?
Yeah, because when the reward went out, he wasn't sure if any of his friends were going to snitch on him. So he just kind of hid it in the woodpile and forgot about it.
You think it's still there?
It's a possibility.
Okay.
That's a small town, and you know how hillbillies can be sometimes.
Well, I mean,
yeah,
sure.
Leaving the base out.
Yeah, I don't think it matters where. If you're in a city, if you're in the middle of nowhere, there's going to be people who do stupid things. You know,
yeah, no doubt about it.
No matter where you are.
All right, but say you're in that situation. You've stolen the stuff. There's a $15,000 reward. I mean, do you turn it in? Try to collect the money?
I
come up with, you know, with your cover story.
I guess that's the issue. $50,000 reward tells me that the instrument is worth more.
Well, for sure.
So, I mean, I can't imagine losing that valuable. It's almost like you knew the instrument was worth money to take that one in particular when you were there. Because if there's a guitar, there's all these other things.
Sure.
You take that one instead of taking a Fender or whatever, you know. You obviously, either you're just dumb luck or you just took the most expensive one accidentally. Or
which is also a possibility.
Yeah. I would just tell the person that stole it, like, give it to me. I'll turn it in. We'll split the money.
But what's going to be your cover story? I mean, that's the thing. Like, you did not steal it, so they can't get you on that. But you know the person that stole it. You turned it in. So, like, what is your story?
I don't know the person that stole it. It just ended up at our house, and I recognized it.
I saw the poster.
We had a big party. A bunch of people came over.
Yeah.
They left this and, like, a guitar or something. I don't know, but this is the one on the poster. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Big, small, or petty, tell us one thing that you've stolen in your lifetime. 206-803-ROCK.
Actually, it's sad. They stole our dog.
Yeah. You think you're upset.
What was the story you were telling me earlier about the 7-year-old kid?
It's coming up for shot of the day.
Okay.
She, right. 7-year-old kid trying to steal a dog. But she had a plan. That's the thing. She's not just a dog napper. She actually put some thought into this and failed. Hello, Pauline. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, de cholas.
Hola.
How are you guys doing today?
We're doing great, Pauline.
I'm
Thank
a little
you.
Gassy, but I'm doing well otherwise.
That's good. That sounds pretty typical, Thrill.
Yeah, thank you.
So I got two stories for you. If I have time, I'll tell you the second one. First one's a little bit vanilla, but went out with a couple of my girlfriends one night to O'Donnell's in Everett down on 128th Street and was coming out, and they had an Irish prayer. And my name's Colleen, so Irish. And in my drunken state, I thought, hey, if they didn't want dip like me to take this off the wall, then they should have screwed it on the wall. And I proceeded to take said prayer home and had it.
Wait a minute, you stole a prayer?
About 10 years.
You didn't, I mean, being religious, you did not have, this didn't, I understand you're supposed to take the Bible in a hotel room. That's what they're encouraging you to do.
I went to Catholic school until sixth grade, so religion's ruined for me.
All right. You stole from Sean O'Donnell. Man, oh, man. Well, that's probably why all the stuff is nailed down to the one in Fremont, too.
That's kind of what I thought, too.
Yeah, they call that the Colleen nail.
Right. Damn, Colleen. What was the other one, Colleen?
So this one is a little bit spicy. I was, meth, a hell of a drug. And
oh,
I
we're doing meth now.
In the street. Well, not now, 20 years ago.
No, I'm just saying for the story. I like that you updated.
Yeah, upgrade a little bit.
All right.
Very religious.
Now we're on meth, all right.
Yeah. And I had broken into this cabana in this apartment complex, and there was some paintball gear there. And I'm getting everything together, and there's this Rottweiler there. Scares the hell out of me. So I stand up, and I open the door. And I asked the dog, I go, hey, you want to go outside? Dog gets really excited, goes outside. I grab all my stuff. I get on my bicycle. I ride home. I unload my stuff. And then a guilt hits me. And I felt so bad. And I was so worried about the dog getting in trouble or getting lost that I ended up going back out, finding the dog, and returning it back to the cabana, letting it back inside, and still never got caught.
Wow.
Do you think the meth triggered the guilt, or you just...
No.
No. Okay. Right. So you just feel bad.
Do you still have the thing you stole from Sean O'Donnell's?
I do.
Where is it?
Right now, it is in a box in my garage, but I had it up in my kitchen for about 10 years.
Okay. This was the early days of Sean O'Donnell's.
I mean, hey, look, don't feel bad. We had a text come in that says that about 13, my friend and I... We would steal the offering from the church to buy weed. It got so bad that they put a lock on it. We just broke it off. We're going to hell. At least they acknowledge that part.
Yeah, we had that scandal in my school one Monday.
What?
Same thing. There's like they, you know, during Mass, they pass the basket around.
Yeah.
But there's also like just these things that you can put money in all the time to donate to the church. And somebody had
Somebody had broken in and gotten that money, and then they had to put locks on them. But it was a massive deal. Mm-hmm.
Were you a part of that?
I was not.
Oh, okay.
No, well, not at all.
Also, when you're an altar boy, it's your job to go around and do the collections. Well, at least it was when I was growing up.
Depends on the mass, dude.
Okay, so
you get a busy 10 a.m. Sunday mass, man. There's other people you hire to help. As an altar, you go out, you pick them out, and you go, Mr. Whoever, you get it. Oh, sure.
Okay. You trust him with the envelope. No problem.
You got to.
Okay.
You ever walk out there?
I
want to
do that at my house, by the way.
What's that?
Like, you know, like Mike and
you're
his
having
wife,
a party, you got
couple
food.
People come over. I said, hey, just come over and watch the game. Then at halftime, I just start sticking that basket in front of them.
I'll put out the envelope. Yeah. Like, here, man, you can give anything. I bought a lot of food at Costco, got some beers.
Yeah.
You know, just give what you need or what you want.
At what age do we stop paying to go to parties? I feel like in my 20s, at least the first 5 years of my 20s, right? Like,
it was a $5
guys throwing a party, whatever. Yeah, and it was always about $5. And you didn't even necessarily have it. Like, come on, man, just let me borrow $1, dude. I got $3.75. Give me a dollar. I could talk my way in for a quarter. It was always a big thing. But you go, but same thing, you had to pick the person who you trusted to hold the money.
You know, if you were holding, if you were having the party, yeah.
If you were having a party, you had like a buddy of yours basically work. And even though you knew everyone that was there, but you still had them working the door. Because even though you knew everyone and you invited everyone, you didn't necessarily trust everyone.
Well, they're your friends, so you know who you can trust and who you can't.
Right.
So they're the ones always standing around by the keg, and you're like, Matt, right. how many cups have you sold? We need to get more cups. We need to get more cups. We got 50 of them. They're not 50 people walking around here.
Yeah, exactly.
What's going on? What's happening?
What's going on, man?
Yeah.
I think it depends, too. As you get older, like, everybody just brings more stuff.
Yeah, that's very
so, I mean, that helps it, too, is it's like, all right, if you're cooking, I'll bring this or that. And then, to me, it just depends on size of the group, right? If it's less than like 10 people and you're ordering a fight, you might have to chip in for that
sure.
fight.
Yeah, that makes sure. sense. Big, small, or petty, tell us one thing you've stolen in your lifetime. 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Anthony. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Hola.
Hola. All right. So back in the day, I grew up down in Mississippi in the little rural town. And a buddy of mine, his last name was McCool. He had a great last name. And he called me one day and he said, hey, I have some beer that I'm restocking the cooler and we have more than we could fit. I'm going to fill up some ice bags and mark them with an X. Come buy those ice bags for 50 cents a bag and there'll be two beers in there. So I went and bought six bags of ice for $3 and got a 12 pack. They were all Zimas. It was like way back in the day. It was like 2002 when Zimas and all that stuff was the big rage. So drop some Jolly Ranchers in those bad boys.
Yeah, why not?
Hey, good on you, man. Yeah. You can do it.
Yeah.
Good God. All right, Texas came in. Robbed a bank when I was 20.
Oh. Whoa.
Never in trouble before or after. Did it to pay for my mom's surgery.
Jesus.
Wow.
Tara Daly's joining us from the Daily Mix Morning Show. Once again, we're going to sit and spin. We've got the top 10 glam metal songs of all times on the way at 4:30. And your email's coming up next from the men's room at KISW.com.